1269 to join the conversation. Hello and welcome. It is now time for SDFO to VOIP. Please dial 929-299-1269 to join the conversation.
Welcome to the SDF conferencing system. You are the only party in this conference.
VOIP 1269. VOIP 929-299-1269.
One other party is in this conference.
Oh. Now I'm connected.
O2VOIP 929 299 1269.
You, members of SDF, can join me on anonradio.net open VoIP. Simply call VoIP extension 1088 from your SDF VoIP account. Or ask Snowdusk for the actual phone number, because I don't remember what it is. This is JEBug 29.
There are two other parties in this conference.
Hello.
There are two other parties in this conference.
Hello.
Hey, this is Lars.
Who is it?
Lars.
Lars. How are you doing tonight?
My mood's pretty good. Who's this?
This is JBug 29.
Oh, hey, I don't think I've talked to you in here before.
I don't think so either. But it's been a long time since I've been, like, active on OpenVoice.
Oh, yeah. Was there ever, like a heyday at some point? I've sporadically used it over the last year, I guess.
Probably for a few months back, like, either at the beginning of last year or in, like, late 2018, so I don't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, usually Jazzmaz is on. I'm surprised he didn't rush to the phone with people in here.
Yeah, I wonder if he's getting on tonight. He was on yesterday. And he's in the comm room. So I hope he joins. We were talking yesterday about eating way too much Italian food.
Yeah, that's not me. I started eating low carb like 6 or 7 years ago, so there is a... If there's too much of anything, it's not Italian food for me. Though I do remember what it tastes like. It's good.
It is good. It's too good, and that's the problem. So I respect you for going no carb. Are you on comm or IRC?
I'm on IRC, yeah, although my laptop's in the other room, so I'm not looking at it at the moment, but I was in IRC for Snowdusk's show.
Okay. Oh, I see now, I think. ALRS.
Yep.
Okay. I wasn't paying attention. There were so many people in IRC for, like, the first time in a good while, I think.
I think Snowdusk has had bigger nights, but yeah, he did pretty okay.
Yeah. Well, it's like usually everybody's on comm, which is fair.
Yeah. I'm more into IRC, and like I think I've said to other people, it's like if like comm mode disappeared, that'd be sad. If IRC went away, that'd be a tragedy. So I really try to encourage people to use IRC.
I mean, true, but you don't get to see the beautiful chat that's going on about how comm is a religion.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm missing out. I've used it before, but yeah, the interface is not my bag. So.
Oh, that's fair. I have problems with UTF-8 on comm sometimes, but usually it's not a problem. Somebody in just said Laura speaks heresy.
That's fine.
So what are you up to tonight?
Not so much. The sun's not quite down yet. I'm, yeah, I just started a job like 2-3 weeks ago, so I have been eating dinner and then falling asleep right after, but I'm getting a little more used to it, so I think tonight I will manage to stay awake, I don't know, till like 10 o'clock or something.
There are.
Yeah, I was trying to join this conference. It was like really glitching out, but it's doing a fine job of handling the conference. So I was thinking like, oh, the machine's under load, but I don't know what's going on with it. But
yeah,
did someone join?
I don't think they did because it just said there are. And
yeah.
Three other parties in this conference.
VOIP 929
1269. Took so long to get the little connect noise.
Yeah, that was. I had the same problem. But the machine. It can't be that the machine's under load because we're chatting on it, right? I mean, the whole thing would be falling apart. Yeah, who knows?
Hmm. Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, I'm in the process of multitasking poorly. I've got two video conferences going right now in addition to OpenVOIP. And the video conferences are on hold but at the moment, I figured I would call in and check in and see who was online.
Yeah.
Well, Jazzmaz, this is Lars.
Hey, Lars.
Hey.
This is J-Bug.
Good. Oh, hey, J-Bug. Yeah, good to hear from you, Lars.
There are four other parties in this conference.
And J-Bug, I've seen, I saw the post on Mastodon with the link to your pictures of your Altair. That's very cool.
Yes, and after I got mad at Flash Player and complained on Bboard, they finally enabled HTML5.
Oh, really? Yeah, sometimes all it takes is to ask the right question at the right time and, you know, you will be rewarded.
Maybe that's what slowed down the conference bridge, just enabling that plugin.
Yeah, I look forward to that. Being able to do multi-upload to it now.
I was trying to upload because I had 80 pictures to upload for the Altair.
Yeah, I know. I did that at the Toronto Commodore event, World of Commodore. I had taken a handful of pictures, not quite 80, but a handful. And it's like, oh, I got to do it one at a time. At first, I'm like, okay, let me edit them. At first, I'm doing let me edit them for sort of more of an optimal size. I didn't want to necessarily give the full resolution of the output of the camera. And because in the past there were some size limitations, I think SMJ extended that. So I think now it's like some ridiculous size. He's like, yeah, storage is cheap, so enjoy.
I think it's 300 megabytes of file, and it can be like 8,000 by 8,000 or something.
Yeah. Which exceeds what my camera typically outputs, but so I ended up just like, okay, let me not even bother to re-edit this stuff. We'll just send it straight up, and hence why there's a couple really awful blurry images. Also, I hate the phone on my camera because it constantly wants to autofocus, and it's really bad at doing it. And there's no software setting to turn that off. Really annoying. I've heard it rumored that maybe if I go to a third-party camera app, there may be a way to disable it that way, but I haven't really investigated that yet.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. That's weird. I mean, that's fair.
Yeah, so it's really terrible at, like, trying to get the text on the screen clear. I was doing that the other week when I had to go into a customer site. It's like, I freaking forgot my cheater reading glasses. You know, it's that normally I keep a set in my bag, but they had managed to make their way out at some point and didn't get back in. And it's like, yeah, it's kind of sad when you're using your smartphone as a magnifying glass for text on a display.
You know, I mean, but it worked, right?
Yeah, I got what I needed. It took me a little longer and a lot of fighting with the camera app, but, you know, I got it. But for a while there, I was considering, you know, going to, like, a drugstore and picking up another set of cheater readers. But I'm like, yeah, chances are by the time I leave, you know, leave the customer site, go there and come back, you know, I'll probably have burned 30 minutes to an hour just to get a freaking pair of glasses.
Yeah. So just use your phone and blow it up and fight the camera for 5 minutes.
And I have to do that anyway, like for really small form factor ICs and things. So I cannot read that stuff anymore.
Oh, yeah. I can't read that.
I have to basically, capture it on the phone and then blow it up on a larger display to be able to read any of that sometimes. There was one night where I was having problems reading Windows 7 license keys off the tags.
Ooh. Were they that small?
They were a little smaller than their predecessors. Or maybe it was a Windows 10 key. I know those are actually relatively small.
Yeah.
Also, I think at that point in time, I was kind of dealing with the changes of, you know, suddenly not being able to really focus on things within about arm's reach in any detail.
VoIP 929-1269.
That was sort of a sudden change for me. So. It was actually not, that's not entirely true. I was already having some focusing and vision problems. Just there was an incident that made it an order of magnitude worse.
Yeah.
And, yeah, once again, I'm probably exaggerating by saying order of magnitude, because, I mean, I'm still serviceable without, you know, my vision's still serviceable, you know, without a pair of prescription eyewear.
Yeah.
And that was evaluated by, an optometrist at the time. She's like, yeah, it's going to be a problem, but, you know, probably you're not going to need a prescription. You're probably just going to need some magnification and more light.
I mean, you have eyes, and that's what counts.
I can keep a car on the road. I can read road signs. I can walk around most of the time without walking into things. So, you know, I'm not Mr. Magoo, if you know who Mr. Magoo is.
Yeah. And that's good enough, I think. My grandfather lived to be 83 years old, and he had cataracts and everything else by the end of it, and he refused to do anything about it. And he had really, really selective vision. Like, he could not see buttons on a TV remote. I honestly don't know if he could see the television.
Yeah.
But he could see somebody half a mile down the road walk across and go into a house, or he could see ants.
Hello and welcome.
Yeah.
It is now time for SDFO to VoIP. Please dial
angry old man problems, right? See something that doesn't belong with great clarity, or something they deem suspicious. It's like, I can see people coming and going, and I can see ants in my house.
Crawled all over the floor. That's going to be me.
Thank you.
Oh, is that true, Faye? You're, as usual, unfortunately, kind of choppy there. Yeah, we can't really make you out. Your audio signal's not sufficiently good enough to really hear. I mean, we can hear the sort of tone and inflection in your voice enough to identify you, but actually to hear what you say, not so much. And I'm sure we're probably almost as bad to you, so I'm probably just yammering into the void at this point.
Is Lars still on the line? Or did
he... I'm still here. I'm kind of lurking.
Yeah, it happens. So anything new and exciting with you, Lars? It's been a little while since I last spoke to you.
Yeah, it's been a while. I started a new job a few weeks ago, so I've been working all day and eating and then falling asleep. But I'm a few weeks into it now, so I think this is going to be the first, well, it's not quite a Monday, but it feels like a Monday, the first Monday analog that I'm not totally wiped out, so that's a good sign.
Yeah, it's always good.
Have you still been visiting clients, or have you been holed up at home?
I've been mostly
or?
Sheltering in place, but I did have to go out last week and take care of, do some intake and evaluation of a new customer. I have a colleague that was already working at this customer site on the managing the Macintosh side of the local area network for the artistic department. I guess what had happened was their IT person, their in-house IT person, took a job offer from their managed IT service provider and kind of left them high and dry on the PC land side. Or I shouldn't say high and dry. It's more like, well, yeah, you can have her services back, but here's now the price you're going to pay for it.
Right.
So they asked him to look into taking over that, and he needed some assistance. So I'm providing sort of backup services for him in that case.
Did they ditch the MSP outright after that, or are they still
not currently, because there's some stuff what we have to do to kind of detach from them, but I think that's ultimately the goal.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Sounds like the former full-time person's getting paid more,
yep.
And now you're getting paid some, and awesome. And you're independent, right? You're like,
yeah, I'm independent. I've got a number of other colleagues that, you know, basically do the same thing, and we have a tendency to toss each other work when we need additional assistance. So that's what's happening in this case. He's like, well, I'm really a Mac guy. I could use someone with a little more PC experience to help, you know, disentangle everything. And then it's like, also, if we can replace some of the production software that is aging not so gracefully to maybe Linux-based machines, you know, that might be a good thing. I'm like, okay.
Is that like a pretty common option now for people in Windows shops to sneak in some Samba stuff, or?
Say for instance, I think on the immediate to-do list is to pull out some of the decades-old archived mail spools and kick those over to a Linux server to kind of not make their Exchange server cry a little less. Or a Samba backend. Well, I mean, their artistic department, you know, since Mac no longer produces any real enterprise-worthy hardware, that's sort of an interesting scenario where they've got, you know, a trash can and an external read drive enclosure attached to it.
Weird.
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised they're even doing anything with Exchange. I thought that like the whole effort in Microsoft world over the last few years.
No,
was
there's
get
people
everyone
that you know, they've had it forever and they're never going to get rid of it anytime soon. But the idea is if we can offload some of that stuff, you know, and there's no reason why you know archived email that is more than a couple of years old needs to be on the Exchange server. The biggest issue is that a lot of the Linux offerings don't have really good integration with Outlook, and that's kind of where the problem is. In other words, they don't have, and Outlook doesn't have really good, has historically had pretty shitty, pardon my French, IMAP support, and, you know, sort of, access to sort of bidirectional open protocols for directory services, for like the contact lists and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
All of that stuff has kind of been kind of not too many really great solutions for that. I mean, you can engineer something to do that, or you could just say, you know, screw Outlook, but, you know, getting people to, you know, getting businesses to not use Outlook has always been a problem of mine. Like, oh, we've used it. It works fine. Like, yeah, it works fine until your mail spool goes offline for some arbitrary reason that Microsoft decided that you connected with one too many clients one too many times.
Yeah, I have not had to deal with any of that for a very long time, so I'm without comment, I guess, other than just like, awesome. It sounds
yeah,
like you
like
got
I
a...
I can't believe people are still using that. But, yeah, unfortunately, yes.
It sounds
there
like
are still entities out there that will use it, and you'll have to pry it out of their cold, dead hands. That even, you know, constant problems are not a deterrent or an incentive to move to something else.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do. You know, usually in those cases, it's a gradual change. And then the other problem, too, with the Mac side of things and Samba servers is, you know, Mac essentially rolled their own SMB, server.
Oh, I remember that. Well, yeah, a client and server both, right?
Yeah, yeah. And as a result, it doesn't always like to play well with Windows Samba, I don't know about Samba per se, but definitely Windows Server SMB shares so well at times.
Do Macs plug into Active Directory at all or not?
Well, I mean, they do use LDAP, they do have LDAP authentication methods, so they can be made to do that. In this case, I'm pretty sure they're not doing that. That they're just using client-based authentication, you know, within whatever protocol they're accessing. But that's probably, you know, on the client side of the Mac, that's probably, you know, wherein some of those problems lie.
Well, it sounds like you've got a niche. Sounds like you're on it.
Yeah, yeah. There's a couple of machines that need to go away sooner than later. And things that worry me about, you know, basically the person doing the absolute bare minimum amount of work to keep things going.
Yeah. Like nearly dead RAID arrays, that kind of thing?
Not quite that bad, but more like operating systems that have recently exited, long-term, you know, extended support. That probably should have been migrated at least six months ago. I think there's one instance where there's a server 2008 box in there that is not running release 2. It's a straight 2008.
Yeah,
and then there's
anything-
like.
anything newer than NT4 feels like new Windows to me. So it's like, oh, yeah, new.
Yeah, it should be working fine. Yeah, no, it's kind of at the end of its lifespan. I mean, I think there are still some critical security patches still emitting for 2008 R2, but I think technically it ended extended service release in January.
Yeah, that's rough. Well, that's cool. That's sounds like...
it's work, nonetheless.
Yeah,
billable hours, always good.
Right.
And catching it before it becomes a real problem will also be good as well. Yeah, and there's like another instance of that where there's, you know, why is there, you know, a Microsoft SQL Server running on this machine that probably should have been upgraded and migrated, you know, quite some time ago, that, you know, naming convention-wise, it looks like your production environment is perhaps still touching it. Why is it not on the new hardware?
Yeah.
Virtualized into the new hardware. It's like, oh well.
And when you guys find each other work, do you guys, I'm not looking for numbers or anything, but do you guys, like, throw each other like referral money or anything, or it's just kind of a
yeah. So